great managers don't just manage like the people or the schedules or the systems, they actually amplify the owner. You have to learn the difference between driving results and just doing a job. Your life or your business is determined by the quality of your decision making. The problem with decision making, and you'll know this from a personal perspective, is that decision making can take a long time and it can suck a lot of energy.
Hey, Salon CEO, welcome back. I'm Larissa, founder of the Salon Owners Collective and the podcast. If you ever wished that your manager would step up, take more off your plate, or actually lead, you're about to get a crystal clear roadmap of exactly what that looks like. Because a truly impeccable manager isn't just a task doer for you, they're actually one that protects your energy, drives results, and keeps the salon running like a dream, even when you're nowhere near it. And whether you already have a salon manager or you're thinking about hiring one, or right now you are the salon manager by default, this episode is going to give you absolute clarity on what you should really be thinking about in the role. What does it look like? Because if you want to grow a $1 million salon, you cannot keep holding the weight of everything yourself. And today, Joel's going to walk you through the exact 5 traits that turn a manager into your most valuable asset. Let's dive in.
Hey, Salon CEO, and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Joel, and today I'd love to talk to you about the 5 ways to be an irreplaceable salon manager. I know what you're thinking, Joel, I'm not a manager, I'm the owner, in which case I highly encourage you to send this to your manager, or if you don't have a manager, you are the manager. And this could actually be really insightful. I reckon the truth about managers is that an irreplaceable manager is what we would call invaluable in your business and in bringing your vision to life. Great managers don't just manage like the people or the schedules or the systems. They actually amplify the owner. And so today I want to talk to you about the importance of a manager being able to fill the gaps in the business, to protect the energy of the owner, and to make sure that the business runs beautifully, even when the owner isn't there. And so I'm just going to dive straight in. I spent 10 years as an operations manager. And I also, my wife was a manager for a salon for at least that amount of time. And so I feel like really qualified to be able to talk about what it means to be the middle person, if you like, between the team, the employees, but and the owner and the boss and the CEO. Like, how do you do that role well? And I think if I share with you these 5 ways to be an irreplaceable manager, I want you to have a really open mind in terms of not judging yourself against them, but rather asking yourself the question, how could I be more of that? So think of it more of a spectrum as opposed to a yes or a no, right or a wrong. We want to encourage you, managers, to be more of these 5 things. So, number one, how to be an irreplaceable manager is, first of all, to be complementary. When you think about any high performance sport in the world, or even in the arts, every single high performing person that you see doing well is only doing that because someone else, either behind the scenes or on the court or on the field or in the pool, is doing something that the person isn't that great at, okay? So what I find when I'm working with really good salon owners is that, like all of us, they all have weaknesses. Some of them like have a real fear of conflict and don't like doing one-on-ones. Some of them understand how important the daily huddle is to in managing and leading white space and being really, really profitable. But they don't like running the daily huddle. And so when I talk about being complementary, I think as a manager, the question you want to ask yourself and even have a conversation with your owner is, where are you weak? What is it that you don't like doing or you're actually really not that great at? And that's a bit of a courageous conversation, but I think it's a useful conversation. And I think that level of transparency then allows you, the manager, and your owner to come at leadership as a team. I recently got back from Fiji and we took, you know, several dozen people to Fiji, and a good portion of them were managers. And it was so great to sit down with owner and manager alike, and then sometimes just the managers, and really look at where the owner is weak and where they are clearly not as good as the manager could be, and then getting the owner to step back so that the manager can step forward. We call that being complementary, where the owner is weak, the manager develops, steps up, and steps in. So that's number one. Number two would be, you want to do your very, very best to protect your owner's energy. And what I mean by that, and hopefully you have knowledge of this, is historically, one of the big morale boosters of any salon and any team is the founder, owner, CEO's energy. When they come in, it's really, really important that they bring a good energy, because everyone's hyper attuned to their quote unquote employer. Everyone's hyper attuned to the first role model they ever had. Everyone's highly attuned to the person that taught them skin or hair. And so you've got to understand that your owner carries a really large influence, and that's okay. That's got nothing to do with you. And that if your part in that could be to protect their energy so that influence is positive, it's above the line, it's elevated, it's morale boosting, it's inspiring, then again, I think whilst your owner takes the credit, you're actually the one that mobilizes the very best of them. And so what that could look like is, in terms of protecting the energy, is you kind of shield your owner from the noise, from the 15 questions that typically go to the owner. Maybe you can take on 5 or 10 of those through time. Maybe you're able to manage some of the client complaints or emails or communications, the small little fires, the spinning plates, the balls that are juggling in the air. As a manager, you're actually probably quite good at those things. And I guess this is an invitation to continue to step forward into managing some of those things that would otherwise make the owner's energy a little bit more dull, if you like. So however it is that you can, whether it's taking stuff off their plate, or just allowing them to be the best version of themselves, protect your owner's energy. That's number two. Number three, in terms of becoming, being an irreplaceable manager, would be you have to learn the difference between driving results and just doing a job. So at the end of the day, once everyone's given 100% effort, there's two ways that that shows up. Number one is, we gave it our all and it's still not producing results, or we gave it our all and it produces results. And if you're anything like me, you want the latter. You want to give it your all and then be rewarded visually, emotionally, financially, be rewarded for the results that you produced. When it comes to being an irreplaceable manager, you not only want to drive results like column utilization, like team target hitting, like revenue average over a 12-week period. These are results, right? These results matter. Running a profitable business, you not only want to drive results as the manager and keep having conversations about those results, but you need to learn how to drive those results without needing your hand to be held. It's kind of like that transition from, I'm a kid, I'm 12 years old and I still need my mum and dad, to I'm actually 27 now and I can actually do most things on my own. It's like if I'm going to get fit, I have to get fit. You know, I've got to go sign up for the membership. If I'm going to get my car sorted out, I'm going to ring up and take it to the mechanics. It's just called stepping up and being an adult. And once you get clear about the results that the salon needs in order for the team, the business, the CEO, you to be like, oh my gosh, we are kicking ass. Like, we are smashing it. We are awesome. Once you're clear about what those results are, that's an encouragement to have a conversation with your owner about that. Once you're clear about that, it really is just about applying your skill set to make sure that those happen, to make some great decisions so that the owner doesn't have to. They often talk about the quality of your life or your business is determined by the quality of your decision-making. The problem with decision-making, and you'll know this from a personal perspective, is that decision-making can take a long time and it can suck a lot of energy. Like, do I leave Wellington and move to Dubai? Like, that's a big decision. And you can literally ruminate on that for years. People do. Should I stay in the relationship or should I leave? People ruminate on that stuff for, you know, months and months and months. And it wears them down and it grinds them to the point of, like, you know, just like they're not in the greatest personal space, if you like. And so if you think about all the decisions that your owner, salon CEO, needs to make, and let's just say every day, that's like 1 to 3 big decisions. If you're able to take over 1 or 2 of those, my goodness, that's a game changer for them over the weeks, months, and years. As they add up, you become absolutely irreplaceable. So number 3 is you need to drive results. You need to be clear about those results, but you also need to be able to drive those results without needing your hand held, aka you need to make the decision.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other $1 million-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
Okay, number 4 is, of course, be the cultural anchor. Be the cultural anchor. Well, I think we've heard about culture and, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, and, you know, a great team is like, you know, when you're driving to work, you know, you're lit up if you're going to a great team. You know what it means to be a cultural anchor. And I think mostly it's about reminding ourselves that the culture is the heartbeat of your salon. It's all good to have 8 high-performing people and they're friendly people, but if there's no culture, there's no shared language or shared values or laughter or, you know, even minor friendships emerging or accountability, because this is how we do it here. Standards, a bar that we all try to raise, connected but as high performing individuals. If there's no culture, there's a real ceiling on your enjoyment at work, but also your ability to produce for your clients too. And I would say that to the aspiring manager that wants to be irreplaceable, that wants to sit down with their owner one day and say, you know, I really think that I deserve to be paid this much given what I'm producing. I think that it's your job to set the tone around culture. It's your job to set the pace in terms of how often we're referencing culture, but also the energy. Like, you want to be role modeling the very energy that you would expect in other people. In fact, when I was in a very high learning environment doing my degree way back in the day, part of our practical assessment, one of our tutors said to us, Joel, when you're teaching someone visually, like you're role modeling, this is how you do something, at the very best, they're going to pick up on 80% of what you're doing. So your modeling, your role modeling, your visual example needs to be as close to 100% as possible. Like, casual is not going to work. You have to be so good at what you do, because at best, people are only going to pick up on 80% of that. And so when I share that with you, I guess what I'm saying is that if part of what makes a great culture in your team is everyone's highly mannerable, we give each other the benefit of the doubt, we have each other's back. If something needs to be said, it's said in private so that the people feel safe and they have the chance to learn, grow, and develop. We have a culture around feedback where no one's perfect, but no one's being judged. We're all just trying to get better. You got to role model that stuff. It's got to be verbal. It's got to be physical. You've got to be the leader of, it's really normal around here to grow, to be, to whatever it is that you want your culture to be. And that goes for celebrating wins as well and encouraging people and keeping the standards high. Like, you can't come in 1 minute late to the day and then the very next hour or 2 days later hold someone to account for them coming in late or them not, saying the rebooking script the way that you're trained. It's like monkey see, monkey do. Whilst the owner carries the highest influence in the salon, guess what? You carry the second highest influence. And that influence can be used to elevate a culture. And I guess what I'm saying here, number four, to be an irreplaceable manager, is it's your job to be the culture anchor. Okay. Last but certainly not least is number five in being an irreplaceable manager, one that the people value, one that the owner absolutely values. And guess what? Over time, when you become an irreplaceable manager, I reckon you put your head on the pillow at night and you just have that much more peace in your heart and in your head. You sleep better. You're just a little bit more connected to the best version of yourself. I think you drive home from work smiling. I think you drive back to work smiling because you like being in both places. So number five in being an irreplaceable manager is, of course, really simple and also really easy to forget. It's to anticipate the needs of your owner before they're spoken. You see, your owner has had this mental map for at least 5, maybe even 20 or 30 years, whereby if something needs to be done, I have to do it myself. That's how your owner thinks. And they think that and believe that because for years, it's been the case. Like, they say, hey, what we want to do here, guys, is we want to show up early and we want to do this and this. And then given the opportunity, people let the owner down. And sometimes that just happens like in the first year and then the mental map's created. And so I would say this is kind of like, if you did nothing else, this is like the secret fast track out of all of the five. This is the one that will propel you the furthest, is to anticipate the needs of the owner or the business before they are spoken by the owner. It's kind of like, imagine you're walking down the street and you're about to turn around a corner, but on that corner is a big building. So it's a blind corner. And, you know, you've been walking around corners all your life. You know that, generally speaking, if you live in New Zealand or Australia, that when you walk down the street or drive down the road, we stay on the left. So as you go around that corner, you're sticking to the left, anticipating that the other person that's coming around the corner would stick to the left as well. That ability to see round corners and to anticipate and to the best of your knowledge, know what's coming, makes you highly irreplaceable. And so, you know, if your owner is planning time away, maybe they're coming to Bali with us next year. Maybe you should be coming with them to Bali next year. Managers are invited. It's been able to go, hey, owner, I noticed that in September 2026, you're away for 9 days with Salon Owners Collective. By that point, I need to be upskilled by you in A, B, and C. And that would mean that I'll be able to look after D, E, and F. And the owner's like, oh, wow. You're just in front of it. That's what being proactive means. It's knowing that in the future there's going to be challenge, and that's okay. Life is full of challenges. Life is hard. Life is difficult. So instead of waiting for it to be challenging or difficult, instead of waiting to be slapped in the face, why don't we anticipate that that's going to happen and then show up prepared to deal with that in the best way possible? I think we leave work after those days just feeling way more confident. And that is ultimately the byproduct, the fallout of all of these things, that as you step up and into being an irreplaceable manager with all of these five, sometimes you can look at it and be like, oh, it seems like a lot of work, Joel. You know, it seems like a lot of extra work. Most of it's just an attitude elevation. It really is. But even if it is a bit more work, what you're maybe not seeing yet is that as you step into these new attitudes, these elevated ways of being, picking up the slack for your owner, the bottom line for you personally is that your confidence absolutely skyrockets. People start to respect you. They have reverence for you. They start to talk about you positively when you're not there, which is a real sign of solid influence in the team. And I think that's worth it. I really do. I really do think that's worth it. So if you're a manager, which you probably are if you're listening to this, and you want to step up, not because I said you should, not because the owner really needs you to, but because when you do, you win as well. If you want to step up to the highest version of your role, then I would say reach out. Like we work with like 60 managers at the moment, and they're incredible. And me and Coach Greta, we meet with them, we teach them workshops so that they've got the skills to be able to lead. We coach them with their challenges and their weaknesses and the things they're not so great at. They connect together as a community as well so that they're helping each other. We've got some real leaderful managers in the program that are just kicking ass and really taking names. And it's great for aspiring managers that are just starting to dip their toes into management to learn from these people. Like I said earlier, we just came back from Fiji. We worked some incredible salon managers to help them become irreplaceable. And so if this episode has spoken to you in any way, shape, or form, and you want to, you know, maybe come to Bali with us next year, I would say the best way to start, forward this to your owner, this episode, and say, hey, I want to have a conversation. How can I best help you to win, to level up, to be the best version of yourself? And I guarantee, in some way, shape, or form, after all of the conversations, these five ways to become an irreplaceable manager will serve you so very well. Until next time, to all the managers out there, thank you so much for leading.
All right, Salon CEO, I hope that you're walking away with like a crystal clear picture of what an irreplaceable manager actually looks like, because you can't find what you don't know what you're looking for, right? And of course, what a role should be doing for you. Because when your manager steps up, you finally get to step out of the weeds and into the real leadership. And if you want to build a manager who truly supports growth of the business and frees you up from daily operations, then this is my invitation to talk. So if you're already doing 10K a week or more, and you've got a team and you know that they could do more, be more, and you've got a manager or you need a manager and you know you want to level up, this is my invitation to book a strategy call with me. We'll map out a clear plan for you to get unstuck so you can get out of the way, stop being the bottleneck, build that $1 million business. We'll build out a strategy. Let's see if Salon Mastery is the right place for you to take that next step in your leadership journey. and building a leadership team. You don't have to do this alone. So there is a link in this podcast episode that'll take you to my calendar. You better find a time that chats. I only work with 5 salon owners at a time. So if you want to get in for 2026, I suggest that you do that now. Let's make a time to talk, make that salon team unstoppable. Thanks for joining me and Joel on the podcast. And till next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.